Welcome back to Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a look at Thursday's headlines, and the automotive industry bailout will have to wait. It appears at least the framework of a possible compromise is in the works on the Senate side of Capitol Hill, but Democratic congressional leaders called off the possibility of passage this week when Senate leaders decided that there wasn't enough Republican support to move past a possible filibuster on this issue. Harry Reid is a Senate Democratic leader, and he says the Democrats want to help the auto workers and the industry because they recognize it's a vital part of our economy.
Democrats are determined to help auto workers and the very important auto industry. We know that the auto industry, is the heart of our nation's manufacturing sector.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi also says she's committed to finding a way to save all three of the big three, but she says they need to see some effort on the part of the automakers themselves as well. Pelosi says she wants to see a restructuring plan in place before Congress allocates tens of billions of dollars.
Until we can see a plan where the auto industry is held accountable and a plan for viability on how they go into the future, until we see the plan, until they show us the plan, we cannot show them the money.
Barney Frank of Massachusetts, of course, is the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, and he's kind of the House point man on this issue, as he was on the other bailout for the financial industry that cost $700 billion. Frank says we need to take time before passing a new bailout package to make sure all the details are correctly addressed.
And you could not get, I believe, through either House of Congress today what some people might think was a repeat. That's why we need to take time, because you already have a great deal of skepticism on the part of the public, on the part of the Congress, and in much of the media, that we acted too quickly and didn't do enough to anticipate problems.
But as mentioned a moment ago, a bipartisan group of U.S. senators has apparently crafted a legislative compromise to get federal aid to those struggling automakers, namely Ford, GM, and Chrysler. Michigan Senator Carl Evans says an economic depression could be around the corner if Congress doesn't do this.
We cannot allow the issue of which source of already appropriated funds will be used for the essential purpose of preventing this economy from sliding into a depression.
But there will be a second lame duck session of Congress in order to consider this compromise, as well as give lawmakers the opportunity to react to the restructuring plans laid out by leaders of the big three. Missouri Senator Kit Bond is among the group of bipartisan senators trying to put this together. He says millions of American jobs are at risk, and that needs to be of a vital concern to lawmakers. But he also says any final move by government should include provisions to protect taxpayers.
The auto industry shouldn't get a blank check, which is why we have crafted a bill to save jobs, protect the taxpayers, and have tough requirements for getting the industry back on its feet.
Union leaders are urging immediate congressional action on this. The White House standing firm as opposed to a separate bailout for the auto industry, saying there's already money set aside for technological renovation of the industry that could be used for this purpose as well. In other news, investors took Wall Street for another roller coaster ride, and it wasn't a good one. The Dow off another 445 points on Thursday to close at 7552. The S&P 500 reached an 11.5-year low after falling 54 points to 753. The Nasdaq dropping 70 points today to close at 1316. Oil today closing at $49.62 per barrel, the lowest since the $49.58 close of May 25, 2005. In another legal setback for the Bush administration, a federal court has ruled that five Algerian men must be released from the U.S. prison camp at Guantanamo Bay. U.S. District Judge Richard Leon ruled the government failed to prove its case against the men. The government claimed the five, who were living in Bosnia, had planned to go to Afghanistan to battle American troops. They were held as so-called enemy combatants, but were never formally charged. The judge ordered the Bush administration to release the men forthwith and even urged the government not to appeal his decision. Iran may have enough nuclear material to make a nuclear bomb. According to the New York Times, the UN nuclear watchdog group International Atomic Energy Agency is reporting that Iran had created nearly 1,400 pounds of low-enriched uranium by the beginning of November. Nuclear experts say the amount of enriched uranium Iran now has is enough to fuel one bomb similar to the size of the one the U.S. dropped on Nagasaki, Japan in August of 1945. However, they also point out that this supposed milestone for Tehran's nuclear program is largely symbolic. Because the uranium is enriched at too low a grade, it would have to be enriched further to a much higher level, which would require the centrifuges to be reconfigured, and that could take several months of additional processing. And a Syrian complex bombed by Israel in September of last year may have been a secret nuclear reactor. A report released yesterday by the International Atomic Energy Agency says satellite images and ground photos provided by the U.S. last April show features that do in fact resemble an atomic plant. Syria has repeatedly said the site was a conventional military building that was never intended for nuclear use. Alaska Senator Ted Stevens delivered his final floor speech in the upper chamber on Thursday. That's because on Wednesday, he was officially declared defeated by his Democratic challenger, Mark Begich. The Democrats now control at least 58 seats in the U.S. Senate for the next 2 years, with races in Minnesota and Georgia still pending. Right now, Republicans hold a 181-vote lead in the Minnesota recount. Still ahead in this edition of Dateline Washington, we'll get insight on what the Obama energy agenda should be. We'll also talk with Texas Congressman John Carter about what the Republican agenda in Congress will be for the next 2 years. And when we come back, John Gizzi. Stay with us.